Morning. I'd like to call this meeting of the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee to order. Our first item of business is to approve today's agenda. Does anyone have any suggested changes to the agenda? If not, the agenda is approved as presented. Next is the approval of last month's meeting minutes. I'd like to ask for a motion from a committee member to approve both the minutes from our January 12th meeting as well as the committee's January 26th executive session. Could I get a motion to approve these minutes?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. The minutes are approved as presented. Now that we have the committee's administrative business out of the way, I'd like to briefly discuss the two items on the agenda before turning the floor over to staff for their presentations. We have two joint development items on our agenda today. For the first, at the Grosvenor Strathmore Station, staff seeks authority to negotiate and execute a joint development agreement as well as a waiver to Metro's use regulations to allow for a pilot station enhancement program. The second item on our agenda is the authorization for staff to execute a joint development agreement for a private development at the College Park University of Maryland Station, as well as to authorize a public hearing to allow for the removal of a surface parking lot at this station. I'll now turn the floor over to Ms. Albert for her presentations.
Good morning, committee. Thank you so much. We're going to begin with Grosvenor Strathmore Metro Station, which is on the Red Line in Montgomery County. We have two action items before the board today. The first is a result of the natural progression of a joint development solicitation, which we issued in 2013. The board approved the term sheet for this deal, and where we're at now is ready to negotiate and execute a joint development agreement. So I will walk through the terms of that joint development agreement. And then also there's a secondary aspect to this project at this point where the developer would really like to sponsor and lead a station enhancement program. I'll describe that to you and give you the details, but because certain activities are commercial in nature, it would explicitly require board approval. And so I'll walk through what those waivers to the use regulations are for your consideration. Just in terms of background on the joint development itself, in 2013, the board approved WMATA issuing a joint development solicitation, which we did. In 2014, we selected Streetscape Partners as our developer. In 2015, the board approved staff's executing a non-binding term sheet. In 2016, staff went ahead and executed that with the developer. And then concurrently, separately, but important to this entire process, is that in July of 2016, Montgomery County planning staff initiated a minor master plan process, which is basically akin to their rezoning or to their zoning process. And our site is included in that study area. And that will be relevant in our discussion of the joint development agreement as I move forward here, that background. Just as a reminder as to where the project site is, our Grosvenor Strathmore Metro Station is right on Rockville Pike or Maryland 355 on the Red Line. Strathmore is a music center, which is very well known and is adjacent basically to the Metro Center, or to the Metro Station. There was a parking garage built in 2005, and Metro currently shares that garage or has an agreement with Strathmore so that their patrons in the evening can use the Metro Station garage. Metro used to own some property south of the Red Boundary area and sold it previously for development. It has now been developed into townhomes and into residential high-rise residential apartments. And so now the last remaining parcel that we have is an existing surface lot that contains 412 parking spaces. It is what is delineated in red just south of our parking garage. And this is the site that we have been negotiating to lease or sell to the developer. It's approximately 6.5 acres, just for context. I mentioned the county's approval process. Right now, the county is studying and has been for the past 6 months or so the rezoning potential of our site and some others adjacent to ours as well. What they've really been focused on is a mixed-use project of residential and commercial, but mainly retail, of the commercial, I mean, mainly residential project with some commercial retail. They will conclude their analysis in summer of 2017 and make their recommendation to the county council, and right now it's scheduled with the Montgomery County Council to review and approve in fall of 2017. Our joint development agreement is subject to whatever those county council approvals are. So if the planning board and the county council approve density X, the joint development agreement will just conform to that. The negotiations that have been ongoing have conformed with the previously board-approved term sheet. That is that the developer will finance and construct one-for-one replacement parking of the existing 412 surface parking lots that would be impacted. And what they would do with those parking spaces is expand the existing garage and absorb those 412 spaces into the existing garage. We require that the developer construct this garage expansion prior to beginning with joint development so that there will be no interruption in commuter parking service at Grosvenor for joint development. There will be no changes to our other assets and facilities there. For example, the metro station entrance, the bus loop, the Kiss and Ride will all continue to be as is. And then once the parking garage is expanded, those spaces will revert back to WMATA and continue to be under our control and management. As for the surface parking lot, the transaction contemplates either a ground lease, a 98-year ground lease, if it's any use other than condominium. If the developer proposes to build condominiums, there's a provision that would allow us to sell the portion of the property under the condo, and that's simply because condominiums cannot be financed under a ground lease. That's just our financial markets have not evolved to that comfort level for condos. And then as to the proceeds and payment that would be made to WMATA, it would be based on two things. First is that we would establish the fair market value by appraisal of the property once the density is approved. So it would simply be an appraisal process to make sure that we get fair market value, and then that number would be multiplied by the density that was authorized. So that is the formula, if you will, for setting the sales price. We're also able to take advantage of other boosts to rent payments in the future, where we would get bonus density. If there's a certain amount of density allowed, then we would get a greater payment. If they're at the first refinancing of the project, we would get a certain percentage of those net proceeds. So there's various bites at the apple throughout the 98-year ground lease, which would permit us to take advantage of any appreciation that occurs. The last thing is that I thought would be important as it relates to the joint development agreement. We selected a company called Streetscape Partners. They have created a wholly owned subsidiary or affiliate called Five Squares. Five Squares is focusing on the transit-oriented development that Streetscape as a company does. Streetscape has requested an assignment of their rights that were under the term sheet to its wholly owned affiliate, Five Squares. We've investigated this and concur with it. There's no difference in who the developer is nor the capacity of that developer to complete this deal. And so we are looking for board approval to negotiate and execute this joint development agreement with Five Squares, who is the affiliate, which I mentioned. And then, after we discuss this station enhancement program, if it were to be approved by the board, then we could and we would like the ability or authorization to include some of the responsibilities of that station enhancement program in the joint development agreement, or we could also keep it as a separate agreement as a separate lease.
Mr. Chair, I just have a quick question. Ms. Albert, with the appraiser, is that someone, an independent party agreed upon by the two parties, or is that someone the county determines?
It's a three appraisal process, where the two parties agree to the three appraisers. You know, usually each party gets their own appraiser. If they're close, then you just come to an agreement. If there's some sort of stalemate, you agree, you launch the third. Okay. And then it would be a discussion amongst the three appraisers to finally settle on price. This is our process in almost all of our deals, and generally results in an amicable and very well understood process for developers.
Great. Thank you.
So on to this pilot station enhancement program. What we're really interested in piloting is a relationship with future joint development partners, where they would, in advance of their joint development, really try and activate and invest in the site and start to improve the station, own the station, if you will. I don't mean legally or literally, but really take some ownership stake in what the station looks like and activating it, if you will. So this developer has identified a series of opportunities. They came to us with this idea, given the long lead time between now and when joint development, when a shovel would be in the ground. Which could be anywhere between 4 to 5 years. So they want to maintain and start to create some energy at this station. So they have identified a series of locations where they could enhance the station with art, and any approvals for the art in transit program would go through the board's regular process, but they've already identified several locations where this could happen. They've already sponsored a $30,000 art installation at Grosvenor Metro Station, and they did that in collaboration with Strathmore, and they would look to continue to have that partnership with Strathmore going forward. They would also like to have performance events at the Metro Station, again, in partnership with Strathmore, and then start to experiment with different retailers. The county very much would like to see a commercial zone at this station. But because it doesn't have street frontage on Rockville Pike and is sort of tucked away behind the Metro station, it's not your obvious retail destination. So what the developer would like to do would start to identify what kinds of specialty retail or what niches of retail would make sense, particularly since pre-performance evenings at Strathmore, there is a natural market to serve there. So they would like to test what kinds of retail would be well received. And selfishly, from Metro's standpoint, we would like to understand what kinds of retail would provide amenity to our commuters and enhance the commuter experience. So there's a dual purpose here. Again, I've mentioned this partnership with Strathmore that the developer has, and I think that this is really an asset to this team, and they would really look on to bring on other local organizations and community groups and businesses to participate in this program. Just to make sure that we limit the pilot initially so that it's controlled as it evolves, the initial test period that the developer has signed on for is spring and summer of this year. If it's successful, they would be allowed to continue to do this until joint development begins. And some of the information that we would really like to collect is the customer demand and satisfaction for various services, partnership opportunities that the developer will bring to the table with community groups, and then also understand what this activity means for transit operations. Just to show you some of the areas that the developer has identified as potential places for art to be installed, the top left photo is the station entrance as you're coming from the parking lot, which right now is bare concrete, but as you can see, could really be a visible art installation that would indicate where the metro station entrance is. The second is that there is a pedestrian tunnel that goes under 355, and, you know, they could do different LED installations. None of this has been approved yet, and again, we'll go before the board for approval, but these are some of the concepts and ideas. And then lastly is, as you're driving up 355, on the east side, there's a couple bare areas of concrete right at the station entrance, which again could be enhanced. In terms of retail and commercial uses, there are a couple areas that were identified. In particular, the station entrance itself is quite large. The developer is very sensitive and recognizes the need for commuters to be able to get into the station easily, and so any of their pop-up, if you will, uses or these small retail bays that would be installed would really be off to the side, outside of the commuter and pedestrian flow into the station. They would look to partner with local retailers, local organizations, provide information about what Strathmore has to offer, as well as provide information about the joint development. And these kiosks or pop-up uses could shut down at the end of the day and be closed and secured. They could also be moved at the end of the pilot period if it's something that doesn't prove to be successful. So specifically what we need board approval for are two things. First is to have any kind of commercial use, which is really a private use, a non-metro use, so a commercial use at the station entrance plaza. The board has approved these kinds of uses before, and so I don't think that this in particular is that unusual. The second is a waiver to the use regulations to allow us, or the developer, to sell food and drink, but under certain conditions. Given that there is concern about food going into the metro system, what we're really looking to do is limit that. And so the developer would only, or the retailers would only be allowed to sell food and drink product in the afternoon hours. So as commuters are leaving the station or as patrons are coming to Strathmore. So it's really focused on that afternoon return. Just separately from this, the most demand and interest that Metro receives about retail at its stations is from food delivery, take-home grocery. We saw that with Peapod. So there is an interest in this area of convenience food for customers. And we think that having a developer who's going to be responsible for programming, cleaning, and maintaining the Metro station is a great pilot to start, where we would actually have a legally responsible party for managing all of these things and activating it, and at the same time have the benefit of our testing and understanding what the market really is. With that, I'll take any questions.
First, I'm really excited about the station enhancement program. Obviously, our system is really important to the region, and but the bottom line is we create public places, and it's really important to be deliberate about activating them, not only because it makes sense, but because it binds the system to the community. And that has all kinds of benefits, both direct and indirect. And I know folks have, in the past, have had some concerns about particular uses and the conditions, and I'm sure we'll have continuing discussions about that. But I, for one, am excited about pushing ahead with a pilot. So thanks for the creativity.
Great.
Committee members. Mr. Spedberg.
Thank you. I agree. I think it's a great program, great idea. But I do have one question. I don't recall seeing anything about part of this negotiation and any of the legal liability issues. Are there any, you know, insurance-related matters or other things like that that I assume will be covered in this, but I didn't see mentioned in any of the materials?
Yeah, so any time that another entity uses WMATA property, we do have insurance requirements. Anything that has to do with their hooking up to our power, for example, they would either be responsible for paying for their share of utility usage, or in some cases, I'll give a very easy example, which is Capital One has ATM kiosks inside of our stations. They paid for the installation of additional power outlets. So in some cases, a third-party entity will actually pay for improvements. And then cleaning, we have, you know, maintenance requirements that conform with what our system requires. So all of that would be included either in a short-term use agreement that we would have for this very specific purpose, which if it doesn't work, we could terminate, or we could fold it into our joint development agreement as an addendum.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is very exciting. Two things. One, do you have the full support, and have you worked with the county? That's one. And the second one is that on the pilot, the way that I'm understanding and looking at what we're going to actually be approving, there will be some flexibility within there to sort of, you know, get this right, as it were, with regard to the hours, exactly when you do it and stuff like that. I just want to make sure that you are, that's what we're trying to do with this, and that I do agree with that. But just if you could, please. Thank you.
So I'll address first, have we been working with the county? Yes, it is the county's process. And so as the county has asked for, you know, information about impact on transit and what it means for Metro, we've been providing that information. We are definitely kept abreast of all of the county's hearings. They have not yet invited us to testify, but we've participated in a community meeting that the county was also at. So, yes, we are in conversation with the planning board or the planning staff, I should say, and making sure that they have all the information that they need. I think that as the hearings and outreach ramps up and the evaluation and study evolves over the next 6 months, we will be even more involved. So the county is really doing a holistic approach to not just this property, but some of the properties around this metro station as well, trying to figure out, you know, what the appropriate level of development is there, and we're happy to furnish the county with anything that they need. In terms of, yes, I think one of the great opportunities here that's unique is that a developer who is proven in retail development, by the way, this particular developer had a significant role in the development of Bethesda Row, which we know the success of today, which you could not have envisioned necessarily before Bethesda Row was there. What a great downtown feel that is. So to have a party that will, if something doesn't work in the initial period, can readjust and try something new, I think is the great partnership that is here. We suggested these restrictions: up to 4 hours in the afternoon, only prepared takeaway food and drink. I will say the more flexibility the board is willing to afford, I will take it, because I think it deserves a really good shot. But I think that this also meets the needs of the developer. So up to you for discussion on that.
Mr. Robinson, thank you. Mr. Corcoran.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I was wondering about the 4 hours, and you were addressing that. Why four? Why not six? Why not eight? And I understand the morning rush hour. You don't want coffee and donuts being consumed on the trains. But
well, initially we were.
Would we test other hours?
You know, honestly, I am completely open to all of it. So initially, where the 4 hours came from was that we know when people start returning home, you know, probably around 3 o'clock, you know, that you start to see that afternoon rush come through. We were sensitive to maybe patrons from Strathmore getting back into, you know, the train system after the show, and so that's why it wasn't 6 or 8 hours. I don't think in reality people are going to be eating a ton, you know, at 9 or 10 o'clock at night when they're coming out of, especially if they've eaten inside Strathmore for the show. So I don't see a risk in extending it, but just to assuage any concerns about food coming into the system, we thought that anywhere to start the 4 hour period between 3 or 4 p.m., which would take you to 7 or 8 p.m., would actually hit the bulk of the market. So no objection to expanding it, but I think that this would be fine as well.
If I could just add, though, I want to make sure that we work closely with the county on that, too, because they may have their own concerns about it.
Mr. Smedberg.
Thanks, Sunny. Well, I was going to ask the question maybe a little differently. The 4 hours, I was thinking about the same thing and extending it a little bit in the evening when Strathmore does have, a major event on a Friday or Saturday. You know, it's outside of that four-hour window, depending on when it starts, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, did the county raise any of those concerns or, you know, capture some of that
That was kind of where I was going with my comments. If you actually look at what we are being asked to approve today, it's not specific. It doesn't actually say 4 hours. And I think that what they're hearing from us is for them to be, that's what I was trying to get at, that for them to be a little bit more flexible, like you're saying, to be responsive. And we actually are, the way that the resolution is written, we are actually providing them with the flexibility to do that.
Okay.
So these are great questions, but what we're going to do is give them the opportunity to do that. That's my understanding.
No, I think that's right. And because the board in the past has expressed concerns, so we're trying to kind of balance community board interests and frankly, the folks who are running the business operation. And so I think it'll be a moving, I hate the work in progress term, but that's the reality of it. And so we'll have to pay attention to those dynamics.
Yeah, because if it is tucked away and they want to build a commercial little area, that would be a great opportunity to not only activate our space, but potentially their space on the road.
Yeah, and the county really is interested in making sure that there's successful retail at this site. That's what their long-term interest is, and I have not heard anything from the county to the contrary. Certainly, we would work with them on any details or aspects of this to make sure that, of course, we abide by the local jurisdiction's rules and regulations.
Mr. Gormjo.
Thank you. I just have two questions. Can you comment a little bit on the parking assumption? Is the 412 spaces, is that the minimum? Is there any flexibility there if there was an economic or transportation reason to have more parking there? I know it's a very compact site.
It is a compact site. Let me see if I can zoom in. The parking garage falls outside of this red boundary area. It's to the north and to the west of the red boundary area. The expansion is right now being contemplated and designed to be along that south edge, and it's going to wrap around like a backwards L along the east edge. So on the east side, there would be, because Tuckerman Lane comes around the site, you could not expand any further east. There could be some potential to expand more to the south, but you'd start to eat away at the joint development site. I think that the 412 spaces is one-for-one replacement. Right now, we do have adequate parking capacity at this site. We do have a couple years to see if there are any additional needs or needs to contract. I think if we were to impose a greater than one-for-one replacement ratio, we would need to come back and amend this. Actually, or if we were to go the other way, too, we'd need to come back to the board and amend it. But we would, I think that the funding and financing would just be what we would have to wrestle with, as well as the impact on the joint development site and what the developer thought that they were getting as a result of this project.
Okay, and then just one other question. What considerations are going to be given to pedestrian access improvements on Rockville Pike?
I don't know the answer on Rockville Pike. There is a pedestrian tunnel access underneath Rockville Pike right now to get to the station. And so what they're looking at is really lighting that up and making a much more hospitable transition for the communities that are to the west of Rockville Pike. The pedestrian safety things that are really being looked at in close consideration are along Tuckerman Lane. As folks turn right or come onto Tuckerman Lane off of Rockville Pike from either direction, the north or the south, but particularly on the north, when you take that bend around, visibility is difficult. That's what we've heard from the community. The developers heard that, and the planning board has heard, or the planning staff has heard that as well. So I think that most of the safety and pedestrian connections that are looking to be improved would be throughout Tuckerman Lane, because that's where the greatest concerns are, and where cars and pedestrians really come together much more actively. So I don't know about Rockville Pike, honestly. I think we can bring that up with the county. Make sure that they look at that too. I'm sure they will be.
Any other questions? Great discussion. Thank you. We've heard staff's presentation on this item, and everyone's had a chance to ask questions. Could I get a motion from a member of the committee to approve both authorization for staff to negotiate and execute the joint development agreement and allow for a waiver of Metro's use regulations for the pilot station enhancement program?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, I'll turn the floor back over to Ms. Albert for the second item.
Thank you. Could we up switch the slides? Okay, the next project, we're at a very similar stage for College Park, University of Maryland Metro Station. The board approved the issuance of a joint development solicitation. The board has approved the term sheet for College Park, and now where we're at in the process is for the board to approve our negotiating and executing a joint development agreement. And together with that, we would also like to get board approval to hold a compact public hearing so that the community, even though a compact public hearing was had about 14 years ago, so much time has passed that, candidly, the community may have changed a little bit. You know, people come and go. Maybe we should share this project plan with the community once again. Okay, so I actually just alluded to this, but the board did evaluate this site for joint development back in 2003 and approved the replacement of an existing 500 and so surface parking lot and authorized the construction of a replacement garage. The garage is 1,200 spaces, so basically, a little bit less than three times the size of the existing surface lot. WMATA and staff has continually been trying to market the site for joint development, unfortunately unsuccessfully. So over the past decade or so, issued two joint development solicitations which did not come to fruition. In 2015, we issued our third and got four really strong bids. We ended up selecting Gilbane Development Company, brought the terms that they offered to WMATA to the board, and you approved our executing a term sheet with them in October of 2016. This is a really, everybody is very motivated to move this project and close it as quickly as possible, because in many ways it's one of the cleaner sites, if you will, and I'll explain that too. So we have been negotiating the joint development agreement. We have not finalized it, the joint development is consistent with the approved board term sheet. So just to remind you where the development site is, it's a five-acre site that will be located on the existing park and ride lot, approximately 530 parking spaces. There are no other WMATA facilities besides the parking that are being impacted, so it's not impacting the bus loop or our existing garage. Only the surface parking lot. I also want to point out that it is just adjacent to where the new Purple Line alignment is. So ultimately, this station is going to have Metro's Green Line, a MARC station, and a new Purple Line station coming all together here. Other important context for this particular development is that right across the street, and you can see a parking lot on the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, is a property that is owned by the University of Maryland, and it is a research park called MC Squared, And what they're really looking to do there is create an innovation district. And they, both the university as well as the county, really see this station as being a major transit-oriented development with mix of uses, including highlighting their research park. And concurrently, the county also owns a parcel very close by, and they are putting that out also for development and solicitation. So there's quite a bit of synergy at this location. What the proposal was to develop 430 residential units plus 1,200 square feet of ground floor retail. That retail would face the metro station and a big green open space that we're calling Brook Parcel to really create quite a nice public space in front of the metro station, and also the Purple Line. The two kind of come together at this one place. The developer in this deal would be making improvements to this green space and activating it and enhancing it. It also has a stormwater management function, so there'll be a water feature through it as well. The deal is a 98-year ground lease, and the developer has agreed to pay all of their 98 years of ground lease payments up front. So we would be getting, at closing, $42.2 million, subject to site plan approval. So there would be a minimum payment of 13.5, but right now, based on the 430 residential unit program, it would be a $14.2 million payment. Plus, we would get capital participation every time the developer or its assignees either refinance the property or transact, which is also great. We did an evaluation of how many new boardings this would create, and it would be plus 350 new daily boardings for Metro at this station. And that's outside of Purple Line estimates. That is solely related to the joint development. Before I go on to the compact public hearing, does anybody have any questions about the joint development agreement itself or any of the terms therein? Okay. The compact public hearing, we believe, is needed given the passage of time. What we would be bringing before the public is the fact that we would be removing this park and ride facility. Ironically, there are signs up in the park, in the service parking lot that say, I think they're dated 2007, that joint development is coming soon. So now we are delivering on that. I don't know if irony is appreciated in these contexts. but anyway, and we will be sharing with the public that a replacement parking facility has already been provided in the form of this 1,200, it's actually close to 1,300 space garage. Just for history, this garage was financed by Prince George's County and the state of Maryland, and we've evaluated the total capacity and utilization of the surface parking lot and the garage to make sure that if we were to remove this surface lot, that the existing parking garage would, in fact, meet all of the parking demand needs there, and it does. But that's what we will be sharing with the public and getting their comments on. So with that, we would like board authorization to execute, negotiate and execute the joint development agreement, as well as to hold a compact public hearing.
Sure. This is certainly a great-looking project. I wondered if, without getting into the details of the actual commercial agreement, could you just comment philosophically if we are going to see more deal structures along these lines? I know there was some discussion before as we were bringing some projects forward that other board members commented on having some concerns about like fee simple disposals and things like that. It's, here you have the capital participation. Is that something that this management team is going to be pushing for?
Yeah, absolutely. There are two things that I think could be more of a template as to how we transact. Rather than, I think having capitalized ground leases is really effective. It starts to behave and look like a sale. Now, sometimes developers do want to have that annual payment in lieu of paying a big upfront price from the beginning. But to the extent that the developer is interested in providing all of the payment upfront, that is certainly something that we are interested in as well. So I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of that. In terms of capital participation, actually Metro has been practicing that for quite a while. I think that we will just continue to look at that formula and make sure that we are getting the best deal for the value of these properties. So yes, I think you're going to see more of both of those things.
I think the committee will have an opportunity to see an overall strategy for development. Right now we're still in the transaction by transaction mode and reaffirming what the board has done over the last blank years, but we will have an opportunity to revisit looking ahead. Mr. Augustine.
Obviously, I'm very excited about this. This is a really tremendous opportunity for Prince George's County that we're really looking forward to. There are some fantastic things happening in College Park in and around where this is as well, and I think that this is really going to also, as you mentioned, help spur the development actually on, which I guess would be the eastern side or the eastern side of the tracks, as it were. This station is almost as good as New Carrollton. So it's a fantastic opportunity. Very excited about it and looking forward to this, to the groundbreaking soon. Thank you.
Tony, if I could. I want to thank Malcolm. Obviously, we've worked very closely with the county, but also University of Maryland. Dean and I actually went out there and worked with them directly on this to make sure we keep these things going, because it's a relatively small piece of a much bigger initiative out that way. So we're glad to be part of it.
That's great. Wilby.
Just a simple question. Looking at the map and looking at the bus loop and the Purple Line interface, is the Purple Line going to be elevated, or is there enough room there to incorporate the improvements around this area with all the development? Is that part of the plan?
It is. So it is above ground. And to tell you the truth, I'll turn it over to Andy Scott, who's the project manager on this, has been holding meetings with the Purple Line concessionaire as well as the developer to make sure to integrate these. But why don't you speak to exactly how the facilities interact with each other?
Sure. And when we put this site out for solicitation, we accommodated the Purple Line alignment, the right-of-way needed for it. So it is, we've set aside what they need, but there's still some additional coordination that's ongoing in terms of pedestrian connections. The station is going to be right in front of that Brook parcel, the place that the area that the developer wants to activate. So we see that as a great opportunity to really align what they're doing and the access to the station. So the Purple Line is actually refining their plans now, and we're reviewing them and commenting and coordinating along the way.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the committee? Thank you. Hearing no further discussion, can I get a motion from a member of the committee to do two things? Authorize staff to execute a joint development agreement and authorize Metro to conduct a public hearing for the removal of the surface parking lot at this location.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed. This motion passes. With no further business to come before the committee, we stand adjourned, but I'm going to turn the floor over to Chairman Evans for a request that the board meet in executive session. Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Costa. In accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, request that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection A, budgetary matters that may affect legal positions, WMATA contracts, or sensitive relationships with local jurisdictions or the federal government, and B, litigation, investigations, and other legal matters requiring the provision of legal advice or consultation with counsel and staff members, and H, development of WMATA position or strategy on pending or proposed federal or state legislation. I'd like to move this request at this point in time. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll meet in executive session upstairs immediately.